All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I'm joined by the top dog at the Falcoholic, Dave Choate. We're going to be talking about Dan Quinn's job status, this Week 5 loss to the Houston Texans, and much, much more.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years. I'm on Twitter at FalcFans. Of course, I am the host of this world-renowned Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. And I am joined by the head honcho over at the Falcoholic, Dave Choate, a longtime frequent guest of this podcast, usually coming on, historically after tough losses to help talk us down from the ledge. But I don't know if he's going to be able to accomplish that. And I don't want to put that pressure on you today, Dave, on today's show.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's I can only do so much. Yeah. So I'll do my best.
So the Falcons are 1-4 now, and they were 1-4 to start last year, and they were able to rebound somewhat last year. Do you think they will be able to do so this year? And if not, why?
I think they will rebound somewhat. I think this is probably, knock on whatever you have handy, as bad as it's going to get. I think the last 2 or 3 weeks that have just been kind of nightmares to watch are probably the lowest point of the season. I don't think that they're going to be able to bounce all the way back, make a playoff push, really be in it at the end of the year. I just don't think whatever's going on here is fixable in a short time span. It just seems like a team that's not with it fully. They're making so many mistakes that I guess a year ago, you know, even with all the injuries, you wouldn't have expected from them, which makes it feel like maybe it could turn around. But then you see them allow 50 points to the Texans, who had been, you know, maybe scuffling a little bit. You saw them lose to a Titans team that's not very good and turn back into a pumpkin again the next week. And the defense just feels really broken. It feels like there's something missing here. And the offense under Dirk Cutter, sort of as we discussed way back when they hired Dirk Cutter, does not look better than it did under Steve Sarkisian. It looks like an offense that's just maybe not as creative, not as good at using its playmakers. And again, that's just too many issues plus some injuries to iron out in a short time span. And when you look at what the Falcons themselves are saying and doing about this, you know, it's words like accountability. It's words like, you know, we've just got to translate practices onto the field. That doesn't sound like a team that is on the cusp of figuring this thing out. So I just think we're going to see some better games ahead, better weeks ahead. But I think on balance, this is still probably a lost season.
So, Dave, just like me, you've covered a number of bad Falcon teams over the past, 10, 12 years. Is there sort of a unique sense of badness from this year's team?
I don't know about unique, but I think, I think back to teams like, to some extent, 2006. I think certainly for 2014, which is the season I think everybody's comparing this one to here in the early going. And the sense that you got was that the team was out of answers. In particular, 2014, there was sort of this effort to push forward the idea that you got to get stronger in the trenches. That's going to make a big difference. The toughness crusade, as D-Led put it. And then when that plan really didn't work, there was just no animating sense that, we're going to make a big trade. We've got, some fixes here with personnel or scheme or so forth that we can make to get this thing on track. And I think that's sort of what I'm getting the sense of from 2019 so far is, after each loss, it's been, we've got to get this thing right. We're all accountable for it. We just have to stop making these mistakes. And maybe the mistakes change a little bit week to week, but they're still there. It's still kind of the same set of problems that isn't getting better. And I think what worries me the most about this year, even though we're only 5 games in, is that, we don't see any answers. And that reminds me very much of the worst teams that you and I have covered, and probably some ones we saw, well before the blogosphere really existed.
Definitely. The 2014 year, it was interesting because this offseason I was like, this too many parallels between 2014 and 2019, based off of when you look at the previous season and sort of some of the questionable decisions they made in the offseason. But I always sort of relied on, well, this team is much more talented than that team was. You know, I felt like that team was at best an 8-8 team, not really a playoff team, as many people thought back then. And I always felt like this team was definitely a playoff team. There was certainly a scenario where I could see them sort of struggling to make the playoffs just because of the high level of the strong schedule that they're facing in 2019. But I always felt pretty confident that even if there were all these similarities between 2019 and 2014, that this team would be able to figure it out. And when they got on the field, then, you know, things would click a lot better. And it's so weird to me that that is not the case, given what we've seen unfolded. But at the same time, it's like those similarities, I probably shouldn't have dismissed them or ignored them to the degree that I probably did this offseason.
I think we were all pretty guilty of that. And, you know, I kind of lean optimistic probably to a dumb extent anyways with the Falcons, especially because I know their history just as well as anybody else does. But, you know, to your point, I think the talent here, some of the what seemed at the time anyways to be savvy offseason moves, it just gave me the sense that, okay, you know, Dirk Koetter isn't maybe the best hire, and it's kind of weird to fire all three coordinators, but, you know, this team feels like they've got a plan to fix their problems. And, you know, clearly that plan is not working out, and the cracks in that plan may be a little bit evident now that we're seeing it play out here. But, you know, I just did, for a little bit later this week, look at the 2014 and 2019 starting lineup side by side, just to kind of see where these two teams were through five games and what those lineups look like. And it is striking. Like, even if you think this team isn't as talented maybe as it was reputed to be heading into the year, they are so much more talented than that 2014 roster. That thing was a mess. So I guess the cheerful note here is, no matter how bad things get, if they're going to clean house, whoever comes in next is going to inherit a better situation than Dan Quinn did in 2015.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to get into the sort of the next conversation when we talk about Dan Quinn and whether or not he's going to be sticking around in 2020 to, you know, steer the ship, I guess you could say. But before we get there, for those of you that are down on Falcons football, well, maybe you can cheer up by checking out the Locked On Braves podcast hosted by Dylan Short. And maybe you're not into the Braves, but you can certainly find several other daily MLB shows on the Locked On Podcast Network on your favorite podcasting app like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. So the Falcons are desperately in search of some confidence heading into their Week 6 matchup with the Arizona Cardinals. But you guys can get a little bit of confidence in the bedroom by checking out BlueChew.com. That's blue just like the color. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as any pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Blue Chew is made in the USA, and since it's prepared and shipped direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, you can take advantage of this special offer by visiting BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice. So, Dave, you mentioned it with the coaching thing. And sort of the first domino fell Monday morning at 5 a.m. Unfortunately for Jay Gruden, he didn't even get a good night's sleep before he got fired. But the Washington Redskins fired their head coach, Jay Gruden. Didn't surprise a whole lot of people going into the season. He was the overwhelming favorite to be the first coach fired for those various online casinos that put things out like that. I you know, before coming on this podcast with you, Dave, I went back and looked, and the odds for Jay Gruden to be the first coach fired were 3-1 back in August, according to some sports books. And You know, Dan Quinn back then was tied with guys like Ron Rivera and Jason Garrett for having like the fifth best odds at 15-1 before the season. But a week ago, those odds had been updated, and Dan Quinn was right, you know, behind Jay Gruden with sort of 5-1 odds. I'm curious, sort of, what are your thoughts on the possibility that Dan Quinn could be the next coach to go?
You know, I obviously came to it a little bit reluctantly, and, you know, I like Dan Quinn personally, not knowing him well or anything, but he's a likable guy by, you know, every indication that we hear. He's pretty well liked in Atlanta. And, you know, he was the coach that helped take them to the Super Bowl in 2016. So even during that frustrating 2017 season, they were a couple plays away from really making that a deep playoff run. So with 2018 and the injuries that they had, you know, it felt right to give him another year. But I think it's only 5 games, but everything we're seeing in kind of a do or die year for Dan Quinn and the staff and this team has been so bad and so out of step with what our expectations were, and certainly their expectations too, that I don't think if this continues that you can come to any other conclusion than that he has to go. You have to put, you know, a different coaching staff and probably different front office in place at this point. You know, they have stretched themselves out cap wise pretty well to push for a playoff spot this year. And it's not being helped by the fact that the rest of the NFC South is doing well, even though only 2 teams in the NFC South actually have their starting quarterbacks right now. So, you know, if it happens at the bye week, and this team is god awful, or if they rally a little bit and it happens at the end of the season, you know, I'd like nothing more than to kind of have it shoved in my face that this team can overcome adversity and they're going to rally, make the playoffs, but it feels very unlikely that's going to happen. And I think Dan Quinn is going to go if they don't. And I think he probably should.
Now, I'm also curious if your sort of mind is like a lot of Falcon fans, sort of lingering and you know, veering towards thinking about who do you want to be the next head coach?
Yeah. And, you know, I haven't partly just out of a need for preserving my sanity. I haven't spent a ton of time with lists of potential head coaches yet. Matt Chambers at the site did that for us today, and it was a good list, exhaustive list. But I think more than anything else, you know, whether it's a kind of maybe an out there, not really out there, but, you know, riskier college hire like Lincoln Riley, whether it's Eric Bieniemy, I hope I pronounced that right, from Kansas City. Just getting somebody in here who is a bright offensive mind and who really brings that background and that expertise to this team, I think that's important. I think that this team for too long, over a decade at this point, has employed defensive-minded head coaches without getting the results that you would expect from that. And certainly, you know, under Mike Smith, the talent was often not there for that, but certainly under Dan Quinn, with the investments that have been made in the draft and free agency, it feels like we need to have a better defense in place, but the offense is not there. You know, the offense really, with the exception of 2016 and a couple other years, as good as it's been, it's always felt like it could be better. And I'd like to see somebody come in who can really hopefully take this team to the next level on offense, which is where they're already good. And, you know, they have a limited number of years left in Matt Ryan's career to continue to be great. So let's get somebody in here who can leverage that. And hopefully they're making good hires. You know, if you're somebody like Bieniemy, who hasn't called a ton of games to this point, I believe, you know, you get a good coordinator with some play calling experience to help you there. And you get a really good defensive coordinator as well. But it just can't be, you know, sort of another defensive-minded head coach who may or may not be able to pull something out of this Falcons team that just hasn't been there in, you know, what feels like a couple decades.
Yeah. And you touched upon this on my earlier question, but I am sort of curious to get a more definitive answer. Let's say a scenario, because I think you predicted a week ago or so on your Falcoholic roundtable that you think they were going to finish this year 8-8. Let's say there's a scenario where that prediction comes true and they do rally from this point on and finish the year 8-8, which would mean they would go 7-4 the rest of the year and actually start playing like the team I think a lot of us expected them to be heading into the season. Do you think that would be enough to, you know, salvage, or should be enough to salvage Dan Quinn's job, or is this purely a playoffs or bust type of situation?
I think that it's probably a playoffs or bust situation. I think Arthur Blank, to me, seems very impatient to have a good football team here in Atlanta. And I think that, you know, finishing 8-8 is actually would be a triumph, really, at this point, given what we've seen so far. But I do think that, you know, with everything he's seen, with the offseason plans that have taken place, and not really come to fruition, even if he can get this team rolling, is he really going to feel comfortable saying, okay, let's have another bite at the apple, when, you know, the fan base that I think he's increasingly sensitive to is not going to want that with an 8-8 finish. And when, you know, he gave him the license to kind of clean out his group of coordinators, bring in new guys, spend quite a bit of money, really push this team right up to the cap with the hopes of contending this year, what is going to make Arthur Blank, I guess, think next year is going to be any different, besides, you know, a stretch of good football here at the end of the year? It's possible that he's absolutely sincere when he says he's going to ride it out with Dan Quinn, and maybe a finish like that is enough to convince him. But I just don't feel, given the circumstances, given the start to this year being as ugly as it's been, that that's going to be enough to save his job.
All right, so we're going to, you know, wrap up today's episode talking with Dave and getting his thoughts on maybe some positives from Sunday's game against the Texans, as well as maybe some changes that he thinks the team should institute in order to get better play out of them the rest of 2019. But before we get there, you know, maybe you guys are also sort of gearing up for the 2020 season, because you've moved on from Dan Quinn in this Falcons 2019 season, and you want to get the jump on next year's draft and presumably the high draft pick that the Falcons may or may not possess. Well, you should check out several daily college football podcasts, as well as two draft shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Those are Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes Podcast, and you can find them all on your favorite podcast provider. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time, and watch some football. There's nothing quite like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So why don't you do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag? No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play, and it's where you guys should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, just like me, you should try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year to do so. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So, Dave, I'm curious, were there any bright spots for you in Sunday's game?
There were a few. I think Grady Jarrett, to me, is a continuing bright spot. It's great to have that guy on that defensive line who is, you know, if not a borderline superstar player, been very, very close to that. And Jarrett, to me, was sometimes he looked like he was the only one trying out there. And while that's not fair or accurate, it just goes to show how good he is, even in a bad game. So it's certainly, no matter what happens here, whether Dan Quinn survives, whether he doesn't, he's one of those building blocks. He's one of those rare building blocks that Atlanta hasn't had often enough on the defensive line. So just seeing him do his thing every week has been fantastic. And I think the other thing was, not a huge highlight maybe, but seeing Calvin Ridley a little bit more involved in the game and doing some really good things was a positive, because, again, there had been that little cold streak with him. And certainly I've been frustrated with the way that Dirk Cutter's been using his receivers this year, and certainly the production this offense has gotten out of him. So just, even if it kind of came at the expense of maybe Julio Jones, who had a much quieter game, seeing Ridley get back to what he's capable of and what he did the first couple of weeks of the season, to me was a huge positive. So other than that, there really wasn't much. You know, it was kind of a grim game. I think it's hard to say a lot of nice things about it.
That's fair. Right? Look, you came up with two, so that's two more than I think a lot of people could have come up with. So obviously there's a lot of issues this team is dealing with, but sort of in your eyes, what are some of the issues that you sort of think are fixable in terms of things that they can do that will, you know, make an impact on the field, whether it's benching players or playing somebody a certain way or doing X instead of Y or whatever the case would be? What are some of the on-field changes that you think and hope this team can make in the very immediate future to at the very least give us a little bit more of a competitive football team to watch and root for on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is, I'm going off of sort of what the players and coaches have said to this point on this front, because it's hard to figure out exactly how some of these coverage laps are happening, because they're just so bad, particularly against the Texans with Fuller. I was just astonished by how much of it we were seeing. But it feels like better communication in the secondary would make a big difference for this team. I don't think, again, that there's a huge talent deficit back there, even with Keanu Neal, unfortunately, on the shelf. You know, there's some very good players. We know how good Ricardo Allen and Desmond Trufant are. I certainly still think Isaiah Oliver has a lot of promise. I'm not ready to give up on him yet. So just getting guys communicating more effectively and really playing their roles a bit better so that things don't happen like Will Fuller somehow magically getting open for a touchdown and not having anybody looking at him would make a big difference. I think a lot of that stuff is just fundamentals. And I think the other big thing that I'd like to see is, you know, I wasn't a big fan heading into this year of the idea that the Falcons needed to be truly balanced. They needed to run and pass 50% of the time each, like Dirk Koetter maybe had talked about being the ideal, but certainly having some kind of threat of a ground game again, you know, whether that's bringing in extra blockers, whether that's just getting more out of what you've got, and being a little bit more intelligent with the spots you choose to run on. They have to get it so that Freeman can do his job effectively. And so, you know, Smith can too. I don't think either one of those guys is getting enough carries. I think part of that is just game flow and them getting behind, but it's also seeing them try to make something out of nothing over and over again, because the blocking is just not there, is really frustrating. And it has made the Falcons very one-dimensional. And I'm not holding out hope that Dirk Koetter is suddenly going to solve all these issues, that he's going to be able to, you know, spring his best wide receivers open at will. So maybe getting a little bit more of that balance helps open things up a little bit.
Okay, Dave. Appreciate your insight on all those topics. And let the people know what you guys have coming up this week at the Falcoholic.
Well, as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at 2014 versus 2019 a little bit, as depressing as that is, just because the parallels are definitely there. We're going to be taking a look. We've already looked at head coach candidates. If things do change and Dan Quinn is out in Atlanta, we'll do the same thing with general managers. If Dimitroff is out, which, you know, feels a little bit less likely because he's been here this whole time, one way or the other. And then we're going to take a closer look at the game toward the end of the week, even though we don't really want to, and see what we can glean from that. So hopefully it'll be interesting. It's not particularly uplifting, but that's where we are.
Well, you know, the thing I always say is Arthur Blank's been the owner of this team for 17 years. He's never fired a GM in 17 years. So if he fires Thomas Dimitroff, that will be literally a first for him, because everybody else just gets sort of goes back into retirement. Like, you're like Bobby Beathard, or you get a better job else. I think that's what happened with Tim Ruskell or something like that. And Rich McKay gets a quote-unquote promotion for, you know, being the team president as opposed to the GM. So, you know, it'll be interesting to sort of see if Arthur Blank finally decides, you know what, I need a new GM and Dimitroff's got to go. So we'll have to sort of see. I've been sort of hesitant and skeptical of whether or not he would get the axe at the end of the season, but obviously, if this season continues to fall apart, then I think the chances of Arthur Blank completely cleaning house at the end of the year go up every single week.
They do. Well, that, it is an interesting point, right? It's certainly possible that there's a promotion waiting for Dimitrov, no matter what happens with the season. We should all be so lucky.
That's a great gig to have, man. You get a you get a nice little promotion and some job security. Like Rich McKay hasn't had to worry about losing his job for what, not 11 years. You know, he just gets to hang out. Doesn't have to make any decisions. Just has to basically convince the fans to buy PSLs, which is probably the hardest job that any human being could possibly do. But other than that, you know, it's a pretty cushy job.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a pretty sweet gig.
Well, Dave, I appreciate it. And hopefully I'll get a chance to talk with you later this season on another podcast after a more positive performance from the Falcons. So we can at least spend most of the show talking about the positives as opposed to, you know, 30 seconds.
I hope so. I really hope there's at least one game like that. Let's pencil that one in.
All right. I'll put you in the scale on the calendar.
Thanks, man. Take it easy.
All right, man. Have a good night. Okay, guys, there you have it. We'll be back tomorrow with a crossover previewing this Week 6 matchup between the Falcons and the Cardinals. Have the guests of the Locked On Cardinals on with me to talk that game. And then Thursday, we'll be back with the All-22 review, sort of giving you my overview and my thoughts on what I saw in the film, talking about, you know, whatever topics I come up with. And, of course, you guys can pepper me with your questions and maybe, you know, gear my eye in the sky, so to speak, towards certain things. And you can submit those questions now, today, as you're listening to this. It's probably the best opportunity for you. Of course, you can submit those questions via Facebook or Twitter. Lockdown Falcons, the name of both pages. Or you can send them via email at lockdownfalcons@mail.com. And yeah, then we'll be back on Friday with the fan talk. So you know what the rest of the week is up. Hopefully the Falcons take care of business later on this week. But in the meantime, I will do my best to take care of business to keep you guys informed on this world-renowned daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.